Blog Talk Radio.
All right. We're live. Voices of the True Israel Light, Yahuwah's Radio, Yahuwah's Ministry. Taking care of a few things. But we're going to get our elder to come on in, Elder Tibbs. Yahuwah bless you there, Elder Tibbs.
And Yahuwah be with you, Brother Micaiah. Aloo, Yahuwah.
Aloo, Yahuwah. Well, it's here right now. He got a few things going on with the big dignitary. We'll keep the ball game rolling right now. And then you can just bring the broadcast on in, let everybody know what it's all about, and I'm going to get the mother on the line. And then you can hold off, too, till we get the still rolling, and we're going to keep the ball game rolling. So you up on the clock, Elder Chip. Aloo Yahuwah.
Aloo Yahuwah, Brother Micaiah. Well, I appreciate you bringing me into tonight's broadcast, because those things that we do, they all add up to be righteous works of Yahuwah. As I was busy today with a few meetings with a few dignitaries on my own, you'd be surprised of how many people have on the white collar, supposed to be preaching the word of Yahuwah, and those that say they believe, and when the time comes to speak up for what they know, they surely indicate that they do not. And that's a bad thing, because the people that go to the churches or the synagogues to get the word of Yahuwah, sometimes they get confused, deceptive words, or words of their own reason or small understanding. It's a shame. It even, you have to almost search for words to say that what you see. Even some people say, well, there is no Yahuwah. You know, all these books and everything that people read, that was written by men. It almost puts it to shame. Makes you think about John 16, verses 1 to 3. One says, these things I have spoken unto you, that you should not be offended. Two, they should put you, that you put you out of the synagogue, the churches. Yet when the time cometh, that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth Yahuwah service. Three, and these things will come unto you, because they have not known the Father nor me. Well, when Yahuwah the Father sent his Son, it was to reach out to mankind. This is to let you know there was a history of this. This is why you always hear me say sometimes, we know there's a history of the past and the world present, which we live in today. And our history starts from our birth to our death. And those who fail to learn history are soon to repeat it. You see that now. But those who fail to learn it correctly, they are simply doomed in this world and the world to come. This is why that we hear and welcome you to our live broadcast of Yahuwah's ministry. We come to you live and always with new and exciting topics from the King James Bible, and first and foremost about Yahuwah's word. Learning how to connect the Bible books, your health, foods that you should eat, and keep in the Sabbath days. All this is done because you have not. This is information you came to seek and have to look no further. You've now found that in the voices of the True Israelites, tribe of God. We're open unto you from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. And the days are Sunday, Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday. Having no class on Tuesday, but we do have a Sabbath class. And the top part of the Sabbath is Friday. We have a temple class that starts at 7:30 to 10:30. Now, on Saturday, this is when we have our temple class. Our temple class on Saturday is at 12 p.m. That's the top part. That's the bottom part of the Sabbath. And we have an online class that starts at 2 to 5 p.m. until the temple members decide to leave. We even have a website address to use this on any search engine in the tribeyada.com. And after you click on it, just under the big line, you'll see some choices. One will be tithes and offerings. Click PayPal and follow the instructions. On any other device, you might see menu. But after choosing this, still you'll see choices. Still choose the tithes and offerings. In doing so, remember what it says in the book of Psalms, chapter 96, verse 7, verse number 8. 7 says, give unto the Yahuwah, you kindreds of the people. Give unto the Yahuwah glory and strength. 8, give unto the Yahuwah the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come unto his courts. Now, I always remind everyone that when you're doing this, to remember that Yahuwah loves what you're forgiven. And also, donations to this ministry is greatly appreciated. That you give according to the Bible scriptures that are written in the book of Leviticus, chapter 27, verse 30, and once again written in the book of Hebrews, chapter 7, verse 8, and verse number 9. This is done to keep this ministry bringing you Thus Says Yahuwah alive. Also, for building the school, which you heard me speak of earlier, that there's a lot of teaching that needs to be done in a correct way out there today. Also, for a banquet hall, radio station, and the land to grow the health foods we continue to speak of on this program, Aloha Yahuwah. Also, while there, calendar. It will help keep you, your family, and friends in tune with the Bible feast days that come throughout the year. We also have a live program. This is a feature that's available during our live broadcast time. Just enter 3 words to get there, Yahuwah Radio Live. And after you click enter, look for Voices of the True Israelites, Tribe of Yahuwah, and click the red live button as soon as it appears. It'll put you right into a live online broadcast. We even have a couple of email addresses the listening members can use. The first is our live conference room number, which is 319-527-6065. The other is 224-600-5579. This is the international number where you can call and leave a message on those scriptures that you may have questions on, which can be answered by anyone of the 6 or 9 accounts of Yahuwah's ministry. But in saying that, call this number trying to teach. I said many times, you will only hear a discouraging dial tone. Also, you can order what our members know by calling this number as the 12 programs via the 12 Tribes of Israel on DVD. Just make sure we get the correct name and the correct address, and you will receive it promptly. On another note, as a reminder, we'd like to ask, please do not contact the seer via email, phone, or text before broadcast or afterwards. As you might imagine, this is said because he's busy with the WCC, the New York Station stockholder, Mr. Sigarman, answering many memos, and now even today, the Latter-day Saints. So please use that international line of 224-600-5579. And if the question is legit, you will receive a call back, unless you call trying to teach. As I said, you will only hear a discouraging dial tone. So at this time, we will turn our program back over to our Brother Micaiah, so the teaching can yet begin. And looks like I'll be working in the background. It appears there's a few issues that have to be straightened out. At this time, we'll turn our program over to our Brother Micaiah and say hallelujah, Yahuwah.
Hallelujah, Yahuwah. That was great, Elder. That was very great. Thank you for bringing and opening up the broadcast. I might need you to sit around for a few more minutes, and we're going to see which one of the mothers that's ready to go on the line. And you'll get the ball game rolling. As we say, ball game rolling now. So we're going to say, Mother E, Tribe of Yahuwah Judah. Yahuwah bless you there, Mother E.
And Yahuwah be with you, Brother Micaiah. Hallelujah, Yahuwah.
Hallelujah, Yahuwah. We know we got, as C always let us know, we got Mother C warming things up, listening in on the broadcast, putting that lesson together. We know Mother Z gonna be ready to get the ball game rolling in a little while later on the broadcast. Right now we got the seer being taking care of some business with these big diggers here. And hey, that's a good thing. But Mother E, can you open up to some Luke chapter 12, verse 12? Tell me what that reads.
Okay. The book of Luke, chapter 12, verse 12. For the righteous spirit shall teach you in the same hour what you ought to say.
And we believe that at B-O-T-T-Y. You know, the righteous spirit go teach you at the very same mountain what you ought to say. So let's put something else on the table about this righteous spirit. Elder Tears. See, we still got Elder Tears with us. We still got you right there with us, Elder Tears.
Yes, you have me with you in the background, as I said.
Hallelujah. Okay. Can you help me out here and get your books rolling and turn over there to that Matthew chapter 10? And we're going to pick it up at verse 19.
Jesus.
We'll get a little precept going on while we get the ball get all warmed up.
Okay. In the book of Matthew, chapter 10, verse number 19, it says, "But when they deliver you up, take no thought of how or what you shall speak, for it shall be given you in that same hour what ye shall speak."
Hallelujah. You know, in that same hour, the righteous spirit will give you what you ought to say. And don't matter what's going on, what situation you in, we just go let the book flow and let the spirit do what it has to do for us. So let's see what he had to say, Mother Z. We're going to read the book of John. And we're going to pick it up at chapter 14, and let's pick it up at verse number 26.
Okay, John 14, 4-6.
14:26. Yes, ma'am.
Okay. The book of John, chapter 14, verse 26 reads, "But the Comforter, which is the righteous spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you."
Hallelujah. So, we know this righteous spirit is the comforter that's going to teach us all things and bring all things back to our remembrance. So let's just get a case in point about some things that we need to remember. And let's turn over there, Mother D, to let's try to see what's going on written over there in the book of Malachi. Let's see some things that we need to remember that's going on in the book of Malachi chapter 4, verse 4.
Malachi 4:4.
Yes, ma'am. Malachi 4:4. Yes, ma'am. He said, "The comfort will bring all things back to your remembrance." Let's see what the things that's written down that we need to remember.
Mm-hmm. Okay. The book of Malachi, chapter 4, verse 4. Verse 4 reads, Remember you the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded unto him, and Horah, for all Israel, with the statutes and judgment."
So it's something that we need to remember. And he said we need to remember the law of Moses, his servant. Mm-hmm. And he said we were commanded this to remember this thing. So let's go see what we need to remember about who needs to remember this law, though, of Moses. That's what we want to get down to. We want to find out who is this that needs to remember this law of Moses so we can learn who needs to have this in their mind. Who's supposed to be dishing this thing out to? So what we're going to do is, Mother E, we go see what we got written over there in Genesis. And we're going to slide down over and we're going to read Genesis 49. And we're going to pick it up at verse 1. Then we're going to read verse 8, 9, and 10. We're going to read verse 1, read verse 8, 9, and 10 in the book of Genesis, chapter 49, please.
Okay. Genesis chapter 49, verses 1, 8, 9, and 10. Genesis
yes, ma'am.
Chapter 7, 49, verse 1. And Israel called unto his bond and said, gather yourselves together, that I may tell you that which shall befall you in the last days. Verse 8.
I'm going to cut in for you real quick, mother. And he told, Israel told his son this, mm-hmm. that they should gather themselves together, that he
right.
may tell them which should befall them. And what time of event is going to happen? And what day?
In the last days.
This is something that he's letting them know that something's going to happen in the last day.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so what he says is going to happen in the last days in verse 8.
Verse 8. Judah, you are he whom they, your brothers, shall praise. They, your hand shall be in the neck of thy enemies. Your father's children shall bow down before thee.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 9. Judah is a lion's whelp from the prey, my son. Thou art gone up. He stooped down. He cowed as a lion and as an old lion. Who shall rise him up? Verse 10. The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Yahweh the Son come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be.
Okay, so we got a few things on the table here, Mother E. And he said that in verse 8, because we got number 1 down, he says, because this will happen in the last day. We also said we have one.
The True Israelites with your host, the Seer of Seed Royal.
To the four corners of the globe, praise his righteous and powerful name.
Hallelujah.
Live Yahweh's radio. Worldwide international radio broadcast. It's already been on the air already. No doubt about it. All right. Well, Osir is ready to do his part and thus says Yahweh and Young Lion and was holding down in grand style, but we got no control of nothing. All we know one thing. The box had been lit and the curtain had went up in grand style, so that's all we can say. So we just going to check and see what all the Young Lion got going on and just right back. You know, they got cars out there. You ain't got the pocket, all you got to do is just whatever do his part. And that same thing about this network. Network will bring you on when they want to bring you on. They can cut you off when they want to cut you off. So we'll leave it just like that, no doubt about it. Take number 15, so let's find out from the Young Lion what he got going on. And Yahweh beat you all on the network. And have I ever introduced everybody on the broadcast? I don't know. We'll find from the Young Lion. Young Lion, Tribe of Yahdah Judah, Brother Micaiah, Yahweh be there, see Royal.
Yahweh bless you there, Seer Israel, of see Royal. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Hallelujah, Yahweh there, young lion. Well, young lion, well, I can tell you, Foxtail being lit and the curtain air went up, and all we got to do is organize, no doubt about it. So there's a load out here, but one thing about it, we built for this, what's going on right now. So where you at, and what you got going on there, young line, and we see, can we piggyback on what you own? Have I held up? Brought the broadcast in. What's going on there, young lion? You on the clock. Come on.
All right. Yes, sir. I about the broadcast in the grand style as it usually do, So we just keeping the ball game rolling, getting the seat all warmed up to the seal came on in.
Oh, hallelujah.
Okay. We got Mother E. We got Mother E on the line. She ready to roll. You know, she right there ready to roll as well. Elder sitting back, laid back, listening on in, ready to do his part as well. So everybody ready to roll.
Hallelujah, Yahweh. Hey, well, that's what I like what I'm in there, no doubt about it. I like what I'm in there, young man. Sound great to me, no doubt about it. So what we're going to do, I guess we'll get something going on.
Israelites, with your host, the seer of Seed Royal.
To the four corners of the globe, praise his righteous and powerful name.
Hallelujah.
Well, one thing about it, I got no control over the network, no doubt about it.
Born site Rachel DeParth's tweet, which came from a day ago, and he states, I was not put here on earth to participate in any religious, political wars, or incite racial disharmony, prejudice within communities. We're all equal under the sun. I am here to participate in the building of an equal world and follow the word from the Most High, God, Yah. So given that there's a list, we've heard an apology from, or seen an apology from Kyrie, and now we still constantly see him responding to this or just speaking on the matter. Do you think at this point that Kyrie should just stop speaking on the matter, being that his apology didn't really do anything, and it only added a longer list for him to abide by in order to get back in the NBA?
And it's a title given to Christ, Philippians 2:11, and my name translates in the Hebrew language as Yahweh. So I went on the Amazon Prime. I was like, you know what, let me see if there are any documentaries on Yahweh. So went in the search bar, typed in Yahweh. That came up to Christ, Philippians 2:11, and my name translates in the Hebrew language as Yahweh. So I went on the Amazon Prime. I was like, you know what, let me see if there are any documentaries on Yahweh. So went in the search bar, typed in Yahweh. That came up. Went out and shared it on my platform. That was my night. In terms of the backlash or what people call it, we're in 2022. History is not supposed to be hidden from anybody. And I'm not a divisive person when it comes to religion. I embrace all walks of life. You see it on all my platforms. I talk to all races, all cultures, all religions. And my response would be, it's not about educating yourself. on what Semitism is and what anti-Semitism is. It's really about learning the root words of where these come from and understanding that this is an African heritage that is also belonging to the people. Africa is in it, whether we want to dismiss it or not. So the claims of anti-Semitism and who are the original chosen people of God, and we go into these religious conversations and it's a big no-no. I don't live my way like that. I don't live my life that way. Excuse me, I grew up in a melting pot, and I say a melting pot of all races, white, black, red, yellow, Jewish, Christian, Muslim, and you can see the way I live my life now. I'm not here to be divisive, so I don't want to say they, because I'm not identifying any one group or race of people, but I'm in a unique position to have a level of influence on my community, and what I post does not mean that I support everything that's being said or everything that's being done or I'm campaigning for anything. All I do is post things for my people and my community and those that it's actually going to impact. Anybody else that has criticism, it obviously wasn't meant for them. Sincerely talks about the game of basketball, and then we bring up religion as if it's correlative at times when it's convenient for people to bring it up. So please just be direct with your question so we can move on from this. I can talk about the game and go home to my son, Elohim, and my wife, Marlene, okay?
So then do you, I guess, understand or not understand those that might imply that that work had anti-Semitic leanings in it? But I only ask that.
It's on Amazon, a public platform. Whether you want to go watch it or not is up to you. There's things being posted every day. I'm no different than the next human being, so don't treat me any different. You guys come in here and make up this powerful influence I have over top of... And it constantly revolves around the rhetoric of who are the chosen people of God. And I'm not here to argue over a person or a culture or religion on what they believe. No, this is what is here. It's on a public platform. Did I do anything illegal? Okay. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Did I do anything illegal? Did I hurt anybody? Did I harm anybody? Am I going out and saying that I hate one specific group of people? So out of all the judgment that people got from me posting, I just... without talking to me, and then I respect what Joe said, but there has a lot to do with the not ego or pride of how proud I am to be an African heritage, but also to be living as a free black man here in America, knowing the historical complexities for me to get here. So I'm not going to stand down on anything that I believe in. I'm going to be stronger because I'm not alone. I have a whole army around me.
Okay, while we're on the topic of promotion, why did you decide to promote something that Alex Jones said?
That was a few weeks ago.
Okay.
I'm not saying what Alex Jones' position, narrative, court case that he had with Sandy Hook, or any of the kids that felt like they had to relive trauma, or parents that had to relive trauma, or to be dismissive to all the lives that were lost during that tragic event. My post was a post from Alex Jones that he did in the early 90s or late 90s about secret societies in America of occults, and it's true.
Well, all we can say right now, what we're going to do, we're going to take a look at a few things there, young man. And propaganda... and how they use propaganda, and how these things have to be dealt with. It got to be a ministry that can hear what it says and where they're trying to go, and then go in the Bible and take care of a little business. So, Brother Micaiah, let's see, can we get us a little Luke chapter 12, verse 12. See, can we lay out a few points that we don't heard? We're going to lay out a few points. Luke, chapter 12, verse 12, Brother Micaiah, let's see if we can get something going on there. Come on.
All right. The book of Luke, chapter 12, verse 12. Verse 12 reads, "For the righteous spirit shall teach you in the same hour what you are to say."
Hallelujah, the righteous spirit will teach you, and that's the game changer, showing how you is able to take care of Yahweh's. Let's open up in Adam and Eve, chapter 57, and we'll read down until we get our point. I just want to get down to the point what Satan said he was going to do, and how long he said he was going to do what he was going to do. We're going to Adam and Eve 57, and we get up at verse number 1, and let's see exactly what kind of tactics that he used, and he told Adam that he was going to use there, young lion. Let's see what Adam and Eve 57, picking the verse 1, let's read a little bit, and let's get to the point of something he said that we need for tape number, the last tape was 16. All right, good enough, 15 or 16. Let's see what's going on. Adam and Eve 57, pick the verse 1, come on.
Okay, we're going over to the book of Adam and Eve, chapter 57, picking up at verse number 1. The book of Adam and Eve, chapter 57, verse 1 reads, "But when Adam came out and saw his hideous figure, he was afraid of him and said unto him, Who are you? Verse 2. Then Satan answered and said unto him, It is I who hid myself within the serpent and who talked to Eve and beguiled her until she hearkened to my command. I am he who sent her through the wells of my speech to deceive you until you and she ate of the fruit of the tree, and you came away from under the command of Yahweh." Verse 3. "But when Adam heard these words from him, he said unto him, Can you make me a garden as Yahweh made for me? Or can you clothe me in the same bright nature in which Yahweh had clothed me? Verse 4. Where is the divine nature you did promise to give me? Where is that speech? Where is that fair speech of yours? You did hold with us at first when we were in the garden." Verse 5. "Then Satan said unto Adam, Thank you that when I have spoken to one about anything, I shall ever bring it to him or fulfill my word. Not so, for I myself have never even thought of attaining what I ask. Verse 6, therefore did I fall, and did I make you fall by that for which I myself fell. And with you also, whosoever accepts my counsel falls thereby. Verse 7. But now, O Adam, by reason of your fall, you are under my rule, and I am king over you, because you have hearkened to me and have transgressed against your Yahweh. Neither will there be any deliverance from my hands until the day promised you by your Yahweh."
Excellent, excellent, excellent. So Satan, so there go your foundation. Satan says, he said, now, if you listen to me, that I fail, if anybody listen to me, sooner or later, they're going to fall. That's what he just said. Mm-hmm. So now we wanna follow that up. So he's saying, now, no, my thing is to trap you up. And matter of fact, look down the way it says how long he plan on doing what he gonna do. You did put a timeline out on how long. So what verse would that be? I know you read 1-7 in the 57th chapter, but down a little bit lower, he's telling Adam exactly how long he gonna do what he got to do. Can you help those see out? Or we just trying to get something going on. What verse is that when he tell Adam exactly how long he gonna do what he got to do? Come on.
The book of Adam and Eve, chapter 57, verse 7 reads, "But now, O Adam, by reason of your fall, you are under my rule, and I am king over you, because you has hearkened to me and has transgressed against your Yahweh. Neither will there be any deliverance from my hands until the day promised you by your Yahweh."
Read a little bit more while you're on. Read a little bit more. Because he's still going to talk a little something I need to talk in a little bit more. Read a little bit more there, young man.
Okay, verse number 8. "Again, he said, And as much as we do not know the day agreed upon, with you by your Yahweh, nor the hour in which you shall be delivered. For that reason will we multiply war and murder upon you and your seed after you. Verse 9. This is our will and our good pleasure, that we may not leave one of the sons of men to inherit our order in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 10.
Read verse 8 again. That's good. Verse 9. That's 9 and 8. That's good. So read verse 9 and 8 one more time. 9 and 8. One more time there, young man. I think I heard a little something. Read verse 9 and verse 8.
All right, the book of Adam and Eve, 57, chapter 57, verse 9 and verse 8. Verse 9 reads, this is our will and our good pleasure, that we may not leave one of the sons of man to inherit our orders in heaven. Verse 8, again, he said, inasmuch as we do not know the day agreed upon with you by your Yahweh, nor the hour in which you shall be delivered. For that reason will we multiply war and murder upon you and your seed after you.
So he gonna make war with you and your seed after you. So that's the foundation on what he gonna do. He gonna make war, and so, Mother Eve, in the book of Genesis, can you give me 3:14 there, Mother Eve? We're going to come right back with you, Brother Micaiah. But
hallelujah.
I want to run and Mother Eve, well, we clear you've been already introduced into tonight's broadcast already. So, and that's a great thing. So what do it say in 3:14 and 15 of the book of Adam and Eve, Mother Eve? Genesis 3, verse 14 and 15. What does it say? Mother Eve, 3:14 and 3:14 and verse 15. Mother Eve, one of the mothers out of camp, one tribe of Yahdab, Judah. Look right down at that verse 3:14 and 15. Let's see if we can find some things in. Yes, ma'am. 3:14 and 15. What does it say?
The book of Genesis, chapter 3, verses 14 and verse 15. Verse 14. And the Yahweh said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this thing, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shall thou go, and thus shall thou eat all the days of thy life, your life. Verse 15, and I will put enemies between thee and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your heel, and thou shall bruise his heel.
So he says, I'm going to put enmity between two seeds. Your seed and Yahweh's seed. So they're going to have, and these seeds are talking about spiritual. That means, remember we read with Adam, he told Adam, he's going to make war against you and your seed. So it's always going to be a battle between good and evil, Yahweh, the son's seed, spiritually, and the Satan, the devil's seed, spiritually. And all the way you're going to know them, the two seeds, you have to have rules and regulation of the Bible says about the two seeds. Two seeds is going to be contrary against one another. Yahweh gonna say some rules that he wants to be done, and Satan gonna say some rules he wants to be done. You see? So now you have to be able to recognize who is in your midst, either just a follower of Satan the devil spiritually, or is a follower of Yahweh the Son spiritually. See? So now we clear up, there goes your foundation right there. The woman he's talking about is those that, give me a verse, mother, give me 12:14. 12:14 of the book of Revelation. Now Yahweh the Son see spiritually going to be a 12:14 of Revelation. Let's see what it says.
Okay. Revelation chapter 12, verse 14.
Mm-hmm.
Revelation chapter 12, verse 14. And to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place where she is nourished for a time and time, and has a time. From the face of the serpent.
Right. So she will be nourished from the serpent in the wilderness. Good.
Mm-hmm.
Who was that in the wilderness, mother? In the 16th chapter of Exodus, verse 10. Who was you talking about? According to Exodus 16, verse 10, in the wilderness. So this woman going to flee into, so she going to flee into
the wilderness.
The mountains, the wilderness. Okay, thank you. Who are we talking about? We got to precept our Bible in Exodus chapter 16, verse 10, and 17, verse 1. Let's go back to back. 16, verse 10, and 17, verse 1. Let's see, can we take care of that, brother? Come on.
Look at Exodus, chapter 16, verse 10. Verse 10 reads, and it comes to pass, as Aaron speak unto the whole congregation, of the children of Israel, that they look towards the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Yahweh appeared in the cloud.
So he appeared in the cloud. Hold on there, Moses. And where was the children of Israel at again, according to that verse? Where were they at, according to that verse? For Yahweh to peep at them, it was in the wilderness. Okay. All right. Give me 17, verse 1.
Exodus 17, verse 1. And all the congregation of the children of Israel journeyed from the wilderness of Sin after their journey according to the commandments of the Yahweh and pitched in Mamzerim, and there was no water for the people to drink.
Mm-hmm. So we got, again, one that fled in the wilderness was the children of Israel. That's good.
Okay.
Let's go to Joshua 14, verse 10. I need one more hit on that. Yeah, we're going to Joshua 14, 10.
Okay.
14, verse
10.
Hello? 14, 10.
Yeah, 14, verse 10.
The book of Joshua, chapter 14, verse 10. Verse 10 reads, and now, behold, the Yahweh has kept me alive, as he said, these 40 and 5 years, even since the Yahweh speak this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. and now.
All right. That's good. Right there, mother. All we want is to know who this wilderness, the woman fled into the wilderness, the woman is Israel, and the children of Israel is her offspring seed. So they fled into the wilderness of Brother Micaiah for what reason in Revelation 14:12? What reason, hey, Brother Micaiah, what reason did they fled into the wilderness? Why did they do that we can read in 14, verse number 12?
The book of Revelation, chapter 14, and we want to read verse number 12. The book of Revelation, chapter 14, verse number 12 reads, here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the laws of Yahweh and the faith of Yahweh the Son.
So they was playing. They fled into the wilderness for what reason, according to 14, verse 12? Why did they go to the wilderness, Brother Micaiah? What did they go there for?
To keep the laws of Yahweh, the Father.
Oh, all right. They went there to keep the law. So they were going there to keep the law. They fled from the serpent to keep the law. Now, let's look at Revelation 12:12. And 12:12 and 13 and 17. We're going to Revelation chapter 12:12 there, Brother Micaiah. Looking at 12:13 and 17. What can we read out of 12:12, 13 and 17?
Okay. We're going over to the book of Revelation. Chapter 12, verse number 12, 13 and verse 17. Verse 12 reads, therefore rejoice, you have it, and you that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knows that he hath but a short time. 13. And when the dragon saw that he was cast into the earth, he persecuted the woman, which brought forth the man child.
Hold that point. What big name in verse 12? What big name in verse 12? Big name. In verse 12, can you help me out there? Brother Micaiah, they got a big name in verse 12. What is that big name in verse 12? Can you help those see up?
Revelation chapter 12, verse 12, for the devil is come down.
The devil. And what's another name for the devil in verse 13? You got a big name in 13. What's another name for the devil?
All right. In the book of Revelation chapter 12, verse number 13, the dragon.
Ah. So the dragon and the devil is an interchangeable word. This devil and dragon, so we can read about this dragon and this devil. Now, you know we read earlier, it's going to be two spiritual seeds. It's going to be one that's keeping the devil's order, and one's going to be keeping Yahweh's order. And we found out, now give me that 12:17. Now give me 12:17. Now, the devil got a seed. The dragon and the devil is interchangeable. Got it? Good. The devil got a seed spiritually. Yahweh the Son got a seed spiritually. Right? So you will have to detect when you in the present or whether you're in the present. Who is communicating with you, and you will know it by knowing that it's two spiritual seeds. And one would do 12:17. What do 12:17 say? Revelation.
The book of Revelation. We want Revelation. We want to read chapter 12. We're going to pick it up at verse number 17. 17 reads, And the dragon, the devil, was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the laws of Yahweh, the Father, and have the covenant of Yahweh, the Son.
Yeah. That's very interesting right there. So in the book of Job, with that understanding, Issachar's boy made a profound statement pertaining to the same thing. Now look what Issachar's boy, see, this is where that a ministry must step up. And when you hear something, you got to go into the Bible and put a, let's straighten it out on it. So now, in the book of Job, Issachar's boy, let's see what he says in 30 verse 1. Now, he going to make a profound statement, and he going to tell you about something. And what you mean? What the hell that? You got him on milk. Well, I want the definition. But you know, we're gonna take our time and bring out something. I need the definition of the origin of the word called the carcasses or Caucasian. I need the origin of these words, carcass, the carcass mountain, well, not the carcass mountain. I need to. When did this word came into existence called Caucasian? I need to know when, who invented that word. I want to look at some invention of words. I want to lay some down. Nice foundation. Remember, you got two seeds. One seed is going to keep what Yahweh got written. One seed is going to be enticed to do opposite. You got to know what seed is in your midst from the pages of the book. Now, we found out about this, a dragon is interchangeable with the devil. So it must mean if it's entertained with the devil, that means the devil's seed, spiritually. Now, Issachar boy gonna make some statements pertaining to something in the 30th chapter, and we'll read down to what he says. Figure 30 verse 1, come out.
Okay, the book of Job, chapter 30, and we're going to pick it up at verse number 1. Verse number 1 reads, but now that they are younger than I have me in derision, whose fathers I would have disdained to have set with the dogs of my flock. Verse 2. Yes.
Hold that point. So what he's talking about here, he's talking about spiritually they are younger than I. That's what Job was talking about spiritually.
Mm-hmm.
He's talking about somebody is spiritually younger than what they could, because Issachar boy said he got the knowledge, but somebody is younger than I do not have this knowledge. Good. And he says these people that have the knowledge, I wouldn't even let sit with my dogs. Is that what he just said? Did he say that?
Hallelujah, that's what he said.
Is that what he said, right?
Would have the same to have sex with the dogs of my flock.
So he said, I don't trust them even with the dogs of my flock. That's what he's saying. I don't even trust them with the dogs of my flock. That's what he's saying here in verse 1. And what he's saying in verse 2.
Okay. The book of Job, chapter 30. We're going to pick it up at verse number 2. Verse 2 reads, yes, whereto might the strength of their hands profit me, in whom old age was perished?
Right.
For once in famine, they were solitary, fleeing into the wilderness in former time, desolate and waste.
Hold that point. The word solitary means they was like basically they was out there on their own. It's like an island that's out there on its own. At once upon a time, what he's saying that I would not let sit with the dogs of my flock. I wouldn't trust them even with my dogs. They was isolated. That was solitary mean. That means they was off to the side. They was off to the side where even penal institution back in the days said you not even fit for me even lock you up. That's what he's saying. You not even fit to be put in nobody's prison, but you won't. That's what he's saying. See, always saying, Shorty, what he's saying. Hey, now, what happened next?
The book of Job.
And what happened?
Chapter 30.
What verse are you on?
Verse 4.
Yeah, verse
4 reads.
Okay.
Who cut up mellow by the bush juniper roots for their meat? Verse 5. They were driven forth from among men. They cried after them as after a beast. Verse 6. He dwell in the cliffs of the valley, in caves of the earth, and in the rock. Verse 7. Among the bushes they braid a bride. Under the nettles they were gathered together.
Good, right there. What do you mean by among the bushes they braid? That means they sound like a bunch of jackasses. They sound like a bunch of jackasses out there. Braid means you ever hear of a jackass in distress, like he done stepped off into a trap of a hole or something, and you hear that jackass hollering? That's how they sound. He also said they was in caves. And he also said they drilled in the cliffs of the valleys in caves. He also said in verse 5 they was like a thief. Did what he say? This was, now, what he was doing, this is a double meaning. He was prophesizing the present, the past, and the future. He was doing everything up in here. Do what this cowboy was doing. He was doing all that good stuff. But then he summed it up in verse 29. What did he say?
Okay. The book of Job, chapter 30, picking up, we want verse 29. The book of Job, chapter 30, verse 29 reads, I am a brother to dragons and a companion to owls.
he summed it up and said, he said, I am a brother to this devil. Is that what he just said? Is that what he just said?
How do you have one?
Devil is, he just said, with Issachar's boy of the children of Israel, he says, when he summed it all up, he says in verse 29, I am a brother to this devil. That's what he said. Hey, Mother E, in the 20th chapter, verse 14, can you have those out in Numbers? What is he talking about? He says, I am a brother to this devil. That's what Issachar's boy say. That's what he said. So when we go to the 20th chapter, verse 14. Now, I don't have none of this written down. As I hear, we will put on the table. And but what I'm doing, I'm writing just as quick as I'm hearing it myself, because it's good to me. It's identifying the Bible two seeds, spiritually. The seed of Satan, spiritually, and the seed of Yahweh the Son, spiritually. It's identified through the Bible, but Issachar, boy, Job is saying, I am a brother to this devil. That's what he said. Now, we go on to 20 verse 14 and start tying it in there. And remember, Brother Kai held me over our chapter 1. But when you read the verse 5, when you read Job 30 verse 5, it reads, they was driven forward from among men. They cried after them as after a thief. You see what he say? So,
hallelujah.
Cowboy called them a thief. See? And Issachar boy say, I am a brother to this dragon, to this devil. That's what he say. Now, we can go and take a look at some things, mother. And we're going to look at 14 verse 12, and give me what I need out of 14 verse 12 of Numbers. What does it say? Mother E? I'm look down at real carefully at that, the book of Numbers, chapter 20, verse 14. What does it say there, Mother E?
The book of Numbers, chapter 20, verse 14 reads, and Moses sent message from Kadesh unto the king of Edom, Esau. Thus said this, brother Israel, thus knoweth all the travail that has befall us.
Mm-hmm. Read that again, mother. Read that again. Who said what to who?
Numbers chapter 14, Numbers chapter 20, verse 14. And Moses sent message from Kadesh unto the king of Edom, Esau. Thus says your brother, Israel. Thus knoweth all.
Hold on, mother. That's good. Thus says your brother, Moses, Israel. So Moses sent a message. Moses, Israel sent a message to Esau. Thus said your brother Israel. So the brother he's talking about, I am another one of the brothers, Issachar, Moses, another name for this brother is the devil. Is the devil, the dragon, the devil, that's another name. So when we do read what he says in 12, verse number 12, mother, a revelation end time prophecy, something he said in 12, verse 12, help me out, mother, because I'm going somewhere. I don't know where I'm going, but we'll get there. What he said in 12, verse 12?
Okay.
Revelation.
The book of Revelation, Revelation chapter 12, verse 3. Therefore rejoice you, heaven, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knows that he has but a short time.
So the devil have came down to earth because he know he got a short time. Mm-hmm. And he said, woe unto the inhabitants of the earth because the devil have came down.
Mm-hmm.
But the devil, he works through, just like Yahweh do it on a higher level. He works through peoples. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 and 2, Father. In Ephesians chapter 2, let's see what he works with, because if we see his working is on the table, people know exactly what's going on. Who do he work through since he have the affair of men too? So what man do he work through that we can read in Ephesians 2, verse 1 and 2? Let's see who he works through. Ephesians 2, verse 1 and 2.
The book of Ephesians, chapter 2, verse 1 and verse 2. And you have he quickened who were dead in trespass and sin. Verse 2. Where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience.
So Satan is gonna, the dragon, his offspring, remember what Satan told Adam. He said, it's nothing I'm saying. He said, I failed and you gonna fall if you listen to me. So Satan works through the children of what mother, according to that verse?
Disobedience.
Okay.
Disobedience.
Okay, excellent. Now, Brother Micaiah, when you disobedience, according to what you read in 14:12, what makes you disobedience according to the Bible? You read it in 12:17, and you read it in 14:12. So what makes you disobedience that we know Satan is working through you? So what did we have we read already that it shows Satan is working through you if we just watch it, the Bible, and not what you say out your mouth. We watch it on the page of the Bible. How do we know if Satan working with you or Yahweh working with you according to when you read 12:17 and 14:12? What makes you disobedient that he works through? You on the clock there, young lion. Come on.
Okay, if you're not keeping the laws of Yahweh.
So according to 14:12 and 12:17, how we know that you is not a spiritual seed of Yahweh,
yeah.
What would you do opposite of what Yahweh say? Now examine things, but you got to make sure you examine it from the pages of the book. So will you measure a person up to know what seed that is talking to you in front of you? What? Young man.
If they keeping the laws of Yahweh, then they measure up to the book. We know they were Yahweh. If they not keeping the word of Yahweh and doing the laws, then we know they the seed of Satan, the devil himself.
It's just that simple, huh? It's just that plain.
Hallelujah.
Oh, it's just that plain. That's how you examine things from the page of the book. If you the seed spiritually of Yahweh, that means you keeping the law of Yahweh. If you if you seed of Satan, that means you not keeping the law of Yahweh.
Hallelujah.
But he always leave room. He always leave room, mother. In 3:19 of Acts, but he leave room for what, mother? What do he leave, mother? In 3:19 of Acts, mother.
Okay. Look at Acts chapter 3:19.
Yes, ma'am. Verse 19. What room do we leave?
Acts chapter 3.
Verse 19.
Repent you therefore and be converted, that your sin may be blotted out when the time of refreshment shall come from the presence of the Yahweh.
So he leave room for us to do what? If we don't want to remain up under his rule, Yahweh leave room for us to do what, Mother?
Repent.
So long as we got breath in our bodies, we got Yahweh leave you room before he shuts you down to do what?
Repent.
That's it, Mother. So until someone standing among you, giving you lip service, you just let them know, if you heard me, you got room to do what again, Mother?
Repent.
Say it. So, because we know that Satan is doing what in 1 Peter 5? What is Satan doing? Because remember, he says, my job is to work over you, Adam, as long as you're around, 930 years. And after I get through working over you and you die, I'm going to work over your descendants, your bloodline. Is that what he says? That's what he said he's going to do. So let's see that we can read in 1 Peter chapter 5, Mother. Let's see how we looking at it in verse number 8. What it says in 1 Peter 5, verse 8.
1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Verse 8 reads,
mm-hmm.
Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion walking about seeking who he may devour.
Oh, so just as he told Adam, after Adam laid down and Peter reported Satan is alive and well, and what's he doing, Mother?
He's walking about.
Doing what?
Seeing who he can defy.
Oh, and the way we know you devout is what? How we know you are devout in faith? Brother Mackay, how we know again, according to 12:14 and 14:12, how do we know when Satan got a hold to you? How do we know when we look at this Bible? According to 12:14 and 14:12. How do we know? Brother Micaiah.
We know when Satan got a hold on to you, when you are not keeping the first five books, the laws of Yahuwah.
Mm-hmm.
That you know. So what is you got to do any kind of explaining or justify anything? We give you all the rules and regulations when you keeping what Yahuwah got on the table. That means you are sons of Yahuwah, a daughter. And if you're not, you are the sons and daughters of Satan. See, that's plain, and we have to be able to help those that will come in contact with us showing you, but he always leave it out for repentance. So that's why Peter was on the clock in the book of Acts. See, the people's going to sooner or later, you know, just like they're struggling right now. They're struggling big time because they hear some things, but it sounds good, but it's still a lot of stuff that needs to be brought out. A lot of stuff got to be brought out. You know, the platform is for the big dignitaries to be on it, but they don't have the proper information to seal the deal, although the door is wide open. So that's where we come in at. We let you know it's going to continue. As a matter of fact, Brother Mackay, I want to look at that. Something we need to know in the Constitution. See, something we need to know in the Constitution now, young Ryan. It's something we need to know that's written in the Constitution. The Constitution there. See, one thing we never know where we're going, but now the doors is opening up for us now to, but it's something written in the Constitution that it never was told or broke down, although it was written in the Constitution. It's right there in the Constitution. And do you know when you go before the court of law, when they make a decision, it will be based on the Constitution. You know, when they, you know, like, I think the word they use, when that judge is designed in this chamber. Now, what he go do, he go look at the Constitution. Because if the Constitution, if it was no legislation of changing the Constitution, then that means you have to apply your ruling according to the Constitution. So we won't look at the Dred Scott versus Sanford, S-A-N-D-F-O-R-D, on page 60 of the United States 393. And what I want to look at something that you need to know, I want to look at verse 4 and 5. All I want is point 5 of section 4, 5 of the Constitution. So it was a case that was in 1856. And what I want to do, I just want to look at this section 4 and section 5 of the Constitution. That's all I want to look at. In this right here, I just want to see what they said and who was the spearhead of the Constitution was in 1784 was three major players. Then all the one that was James Madison, Benjamin Franklin, and George Washington. These were the three that brought their heads on the completion, then everybody else came in after their decision, and they all tied in. So, and everybody signed off on what these three major big dignitaries said. But what we want to do is hear what is written now that when you, before a court case, the ruling, they always, they'll come into the room where the 12 jurors at, and they always show them what the Constitution say, not the evidence. It's the Constitution. The judge has to make a ruling on the Constitution. The evidence can be just plain, like I use an old saying, black and white. But when you make a decision, it got to be on the Constitution. You didn't know that, did you? You know the ones got the degrees. You didn't know that, huh? Well, let's find out what's going on Article 4, Section Point 4, whatever way they got it written that you got it there, young line. Let's see if we read 4 and verse 5. What it say in verse 5 is, and read the top of the heading where you reading from, although we already said it. What you reading there, young line? Come up.
Okay, I'm pulling it up in a Google search from just the U.S. Supreme Court. I read Dred Scott versus Sanford, 60 U.S. 393 in 1856. I'm going to read in the syllabus verse section 4 and section 5. And this is coming from the U.S. Supreme Court, so we can be exact. All right, section 4 reads, a free Negro of the African race whose ancestors were brought to this country and sold as slaves is not a citizen within the meaning of the Constitution of the United States. Five. When the Constitution was adopted, they were not regarded in any of the states as members of the community which constituted the state and were not numbered among its people or citizens. Consequently, the special rights and immunities guaranteed to citizens do not apply to them. And not being citizens within the meaning of the Constitution, they are not entitled to sue in their character in a court of the United States, and the circuit court has not jurisdiction in such a suit.
Well, what do you mean right here? You mean by if you want to take it to another court, say, well, I need another, what's that word they use, another venue. I tell you, I want to take it to a higher court. I want to go all the way up to the Supreme Court. He said, no, they have no jurisdiction of it. So I don't care how much money you spend, unless the Constitution of the Fourth and Fifth Amendment is changed by the powers that be, the rulers must be from the Constitution. So when another lawyer brings to the judge's attention, regardless of how much is against my client, but long as against my client, that is called a, what again in verse 4? But if it's against my client, that's called a Section 4.
Section 4, a free Negro of the African race.
You see that? So a free Negro of African race.
Right.
As long as you identify yourself as the Negro, you know, most birth certificates got black, Negro, or African, right? You got, as long as you fill that out, according to the Constitution, that was not changed, regardless of whatever the evidence is, the ruling must stand according to the Constitution.
Mm-hmm.
So if the Constitution is not changed, when you stand before them with the error or case that even the television picked up on it, if you is a Negro or a African race, they're not guilty.
Mm-hmm.
So you see why you always, every now and then somebody might slip through because nothing, but just look at less than 1%, but 99.5% is guilty. Maybe the sentence of the dot between the 99 and 100, that's the only way, because there's nothing that man made is 100%. So you roll the dice every time you for a decision to be made, long as you are Indian, African American, and Negro. When they go in the back room, the lawyer's going to make sure the judge understands one thing. I know it's dripping with the knife in his hand and the gun is smoking in his hand and caught him on tape. But what does the Constitution say the ruling is? They got to go by the Constitution. See? So now if you want to keep rolling the dice and remain African American, Negro, that means them slave names you got. Understand them slave names, because they're going to ask you something when they call you John Beverly Jackson. Are you John Beverly Jackson? Yes, sir. John Jackson is the slave master's name he gave to the slaves that he purchased. So right there and now, you lose. See that?
Mm-hmm.
Right there in the Constitution. And we're going to read more of the Constitution and other lessons to come. But letting you know, long as you stick with that slave master's name and identify yourself with African American and Negro, black, colored, you continue to, then you talk about, well, what about my people, my African American slaves that came over here? But according to the Constitution, when John Madison and Benjamin Franklin and George Washington wrote it for the 13 colonies in 1784, they were thinking about it real good, and they had it super financed and ready to go in September the 17th, 1887. It was rolling. So that's why you see they'll go out their way to make you identify with a name, and according to the Constitution, you're going to be had every time. So you see? And we're going to read what they're going to tell you later on in the Constitution. There's no court can take you well, I want to appeal this and take it to a higher court. I don't care how you get. If the Constitution is not changed about the Negro, the black, the color, the African American, the Constitution is going to stand final decision.
That's right.
You see what you're learning, messing around with the voices of the true Israelites. See, what we do, we're going to ride this wheel till the wheel fall off. We're going to show exactly how you got into this thing. And as long as you remain with this conversation you got, can't no system hold you up, not their system they put together. And when you broke away from Yahweh's system, you just wide open. So now, let's run. I want to take a look at some more things since we're on that subject matter right there. Take a look at that commitment. This is going to be a long series. So we're trying to tell you that Amalek, what it says in 65:15 of the book called Isaiah 700 B.C., 65:15. What do it say that we can read? This is 700 B.C. He's prophesizing about a people, and this is what he says about a people. Let's see what he says.
Isaiah 65:15.
Yes, ma'am. What do you say about that?
Okay. Isaiah chapter 65, verse 15 reads, "And you shall leave your name for a curse unto my children, for the Yahweh shall slay thee and call his servant by another name."
He said, "You're going to leave your name for a curse name." You're going to leave your name for a curse. You're going to pick up a name that is codes that the Constitution says that these names that you have, that means you apply the name that you have from your slave master. Because the name you carry so proud today, it is your slave master's name. And you have left your name for a curse. Now, whatever case go before the court, the Constitution will be applied in decision. it will be applied in the decision. And remember, that means you stand before the Almighty system with no Yahuwah present with you. Because he said you're going to leave your name for a curse. You're going to leave your name for a curse. And you're going to try to make it without your name that Yahuwah gave you. You will have your curse name on the table and proud of it, even with reunions. See? So there's a just, and we're going to read plenty more of the Constitution. And you're going by. But now you're clear about if you African American, Negro, and colored, and black, according to the Constitution, they cannot rule in your favor. Is there a difference? Read verse 4 and 5 one more time, just to make sure. Call out what you're reading for. Because you need to know these things. Because you cannot be in a position to help people unless you show them what the Bible's saying. And the Constitution is contrary to the Bible pertaining to a people that have lost and left their name for a curse. Read verse 4 and 5 again. Read section 4, point 4, whatever way you got it, on what you read it from. What it say in verse 4 and 5 again?
Okay, we're going to read once again the Dred Scott versus Stanford case, 60U.S.393 in 1856, section 4 reads, and section 5, section 4. A free Negro of the African race, whose ancestors were brought to this country and sold as slaves, is not a citizen within the meaning of the Constitution of the United States. Verse 5, section 5, when the Constitution was adopted, they were not regarded in any of the states as members of the community which constituted the state, and were not numbered among its people or citizens. Consequently, the special rights and immunities garnished to citizens do not apply to them, and not being citizens within the meaning of the Constitution, they are not entitled to sue in that character in a court of the United States, and the circuit court has no jurisdiction in such a suit.
That means you can't go get another vineyard, a vineyard, mm-hmm. Call it a vineyard. Well, I'm going to take it to I believe some prejudices here. So we won't take it somewhere. So now you ready to spend grandmama's money too? Yeah. No, my case, you know. But you don't know the Constitution. If the Constitution is not changed for you, black, African American, and Negro, with the slave name, they must rule according to the Constitution. So when they go back in the back room and come up with their verdict, as you notice, you always come out 99 and a half, all the way, just 1 inch might get passed. But 99. Now imagine a person running for office and he gets 99% of the votes. How many times would he be elected? How many times would he be in that office if he get 99% of the votes? And you get, I'll give you 1%. You got 1% of the vote. He got 99% of the vote. Who gonna be in office?
That's right. So 99%.
So you see what you're rolling against. You know if you get 1% of the vote and he get 99%, they call it a landslide victory. And that's what happens every time. That's why they know they gonna win every time you're in a court case. Because you're going to come in with your slave master's name, and you identify being an African black American that came over here on the slave ships.
Mm-hmm.
And automatically, you automatically lost 99% of the time. You see that? And it cannot be altered until it's changed. And it's not going to be changed long the devil saying that I'm going to make war with you all the way until the end. And not only that, now we read mother. Now we can go to 2 verse 9 in Revelation. So now with that understanding, this is what happens, and now you understand exactly that he works through the children of disobedience, and he picked the people. Okay. And give me Proverbs 3:31-33, back up with Sirach 12:10-18. Had it waiting on me. So listen.
Proverbs.
See, our job is with my mother coming in first. Come on, mother, give me that Revelation 2:9. Listen just to what he got to say. 2:9. Yeah, read on down to verse 13, anyway, just to make it sound good, mother. You know, we might as well read. Did we land the boundary? But hold on, mother. Let old seer get in there now. Old seer trying to say something. We're trying to lay the foundation, because when we take off, we trying to show you what you're going to have to do according to the Bible, because I don't care how good your case is. If you don't apply Yahweh's laws, he's not going to intervene. Because he made it plain, Brother Micaiah, in 2:23-25, because he made it plain. In Exodus 2:23-25, how plain could it get? What do you say, Brother Micaiah?
Okay. We're going over to the book of Exodus. We're on chapter 2. We want verse 23 down to verse 25. The book of Exodus chapter 2, verse 23 reads, "And it came to pass in process of time that the king of Egypt died, and the children of Israel died by reason of the bondage. And they cried, and their cry came up unto Yahweh by reason of the bondage." Verse 24. "And Yahweh heard their groaning, and Yahweh remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Israel." Verse 25. "And Yahweh looked upon the children of Israel, and Yahweh had respect unto them."
Yahweh had respect of the children of Israel, but he had no respect for African American, Negro, and color, and Willie Mae Peterson. He ain't no respect for Willie Mae Peterson. Telling you off the top, this is where you gonna stretch in the hand of the evildoers, because his rules and regulation is not there. Now go to Leviticus chapter 26 and pick up verse 38, and take on down to verse 47. See, let me tell you something. We can't help you unless you apply Yahweh's laws. You're not applying Yahweh's laws. You're not even planted by the rules of the Bible. And remember, they untold you. They must rule on the Constitution. If you identify being black, African American, Negro, then you got 1% of winning whatever you on. Whatever it is, you got 1%. Now, if you going to roll that dice, you got 99 bricks that can fall down on you against your one brick. Now, you're going to make cards on your one brick. That is your chance of overcoming it 1% by carrying your slave master's name, your slave master's mindset. Long as you do that, the Constitution will apply to you on any decision they got to make. They will ask you, what box did you take? Well, I checked off African American, Negro. African American, okay. Colored African American, okay, good. Take them, play along with you, okay, good. So, yeah, they already knew right then there, that's a kiss of death on you when you're trying to make decisions. You got 1% of winning. 1%, because the Constitution will sit big-time dignitaries letting you know if you African American, Negro, I don't care, you was brought over here or not. You still is nothing changed that make you nothing. even when they read about you talking about you become free or whatever. You come free according to the lip service. The 13th Amendment. Nope. If you didn't change 05, that 13 don't mean jack. We gonna read that? We gonna read that later on up in it. We gonna read all that. Remember, we on the network 6 nights a week. And we trying to tell you, see, Royal, you got a ministry that's coming up that I heard all the conversation, and we're going to ride the wheel until the wheel fall off. Every point they got on the table, just like Jaland O'Sear on the broadcast. You know, I understand this thing, but once we get you to understand this thing, that whatever's written is going to stand. If you don't left your name for a curse, Yahweh can't help you neither. You got 1% to work with. If you want to ignore what Yahweh put on you, like keeping the Sabbath day, keeping the feast day, wearing fringes, you want to ignore it? Understand what you're up under. You're not up under the will of Yahweh. You're up under the will of Satan, the devil. But you got room for repentance in 3:19. You got to take it. Matter of fact, hold that point wherever you're on. Give me Acts chapter 2 on Micah 37. So you have to look in the mirror, and when the people heard this thing, you know, they was in 2:37 Acts, you have to, what going to make you be an Acts 2:37? What is it anyway that we can read?
The book of Acts. We want to read chapter 2. We're going to pick it up at verse number 37. The book of Acts, chapter 2, verse 37 reads, "Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their mind, and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brothers, what shall we do?"
See? And that's what we're here. We're trying to show you what to do. The Bible. It's time for you to do the Bible. That Constitution wasn't changed. They must make a ruling according to what's written on the Constitution. That's why you lose 99% of the cases. They get away with it. And you'd probably be surprised if this young man that went off into one part of the South and just shot by 10, 15, 20 folks. But you know, you know, they're going to look at the Constitution too now. They're going to look at it, and only 1% is going on. But he can point at the Constitution. The lawyer that's with him can point at the Constitution. What did he shoot? He shot blacks, African-Americans, Negroes, and colts. Did we shot? So now, don't be surprised. And all of a sudden, just like you catch all these priests that do so much to the Sodomite priests, and there's no jurisdiction can hold them. They can move from one place to the next, right? Right.
Hallelujah.
No. Next, you know, they just move them where they're at there and put them somewhere else. See? Do you know why this works like this? What world are you in? You in a world of Satan the devil. Because you refuse to come all the way in with your Yahweh. And Yahweh can't help you. He let 1%. Because he made it plain. But he says, look what he said. Hey, Mother E. Look what he says over here in Ezekiel. He says something in Ezekiel, what he going to do. He says something in Ezekiel. He says something he was going to do, Mother, in Ezekiel. And I'm going to figure out what this means. He says something he was going to do in Ezekiel. Now, you have to take it up. Over in Ezekiel, Mother, it's a verse over in Ezekiel that you won't have to figure this verse out. What is he talking about? He said what he was going to do in Ezekiel mother. This is what he said he was going to do. He said he's going to do something in Ezekiel, mother. He left something he said he was going to do. Now, what I need that, mother, because he left something. And see, this is what we mean by, you know, that every now and then we're going to have the answer. He said he's going to do something. Something, mother. And it's over in the 35th chapter that he said he was going to do something.
In verse 6.
That's what he said he was. Yeah, I ain't call out nothing because I'm peeping for it myself there, mother.
Oh, okay.
He said he was going to do something that we can read, mother. And what did he say that he was going to do that we can read? You know what he said he's going to do? And you have to figure this out. We're going to have to figure out what this means that he was going to do. They're going to have to figure it out, mother. But right now I'm struggling on just pulling the verse out. And I like to say something about it, but I ain't going to say nothing. But he said he was going to do something. So now, if you got the verse already, you can go right ahead. But he said he was going to do something, mother. Now, you got the verse already.
I can say
hallelujah.
Therefore, as I live, said the Yahweh, I will prepare thee unto blood, and blood shall pursue thee, since I have not hated blood. Even blood shall pursue thee.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's all right, but that ain't what I'm looking for. I mean, you put that here now, but I'm looking for something else that'll go along with the subject matter I'm talking about. He said, he made it real plain, but the old seer is struggling right now. I could tell you about it, but I'm not.
Okay.
So what I do, I just come back with it tomorrow. I can't tell you about it, but I'm not. I'm not gonna say anything. Listen to WCC said. See, why you just tell me ready to read it? Why y'all? I know you ready to read it, and I ain't ready to say nothing. So now, but I come back with that verse. Because I know if I hear it read, something else will come with it. But he said he was going to do something. Then you have to figure out what that means. See, we're going to have to figure out what that means by him saying that he's going to do something. Something he said he was going to do. See, we don't get that anymore. We can nail it down. We'll leave it alone. Because he said he was going to do something, and I come back with it tomorrow. Unless they want me to bring it out in this one here. Like I said again, look, I'm looking at. It got more pages missing, and like somebody been turning so much, I'm wore the color off on it. So now, I'm gonna leave it alone, mother. I'm gonna leave that alone. But give me that 2:9. Give me 2:9. While we on something. Give me that 2:9. Of Revelation. Take it on down to verse 13. But read verse 2:9. Just pause there. Pause at 2:9. Read Revelation 2:9.
Mm-hmm.
Going over to the book of Revelation.
Hey, what? Yeah, 2:9.
Chapter 2. We'll pick it up at verse number 9.
The book of Revelation chapter 2, verse 9 reads, I know your works in tribulation and poverty, but you are rich. And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and
are
not.
Just read where you say it.
Watch what he says in verse 10. Fear none of those things which you shall suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that you may be tried, and you shall have tribulation 10 days. Be you faithful.
Wait a minute. What he said the dragon going to do?
He says that the devil should cast some of you into prison.
So he said the dragon going to do? He said the dragon going to cast some of you in prison. He thinks Satan saved himself. Remember, he got a spirit to see. He got a spirit to see, too. And his seed called the what? The dragon. The devil. And who got power to cast you in prison? That's what we call the devil. See? So you see what the code is? He's telling you that he has the power to cast you off into prison. And he called him the devil. He got power to cast you off into prison. So now you see. Now, who got the power to cast you off into prison? They can make a decision and put you off in prison. He called him the devil going to cast some of you off in prison.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. See how this Bible been told you all the things that you need to know, but you roll the dice and you ignore all the tidbits. Now you're in that Proverbs 3. Give me Proverbs 3, Brother Micaiah 31 to 33. Backed up in Surat. And Mother, they pull all that from Psalm 55, 29, verse 23. That was pulled, Mother. We want to see exactly what you're reading now in Proverbs. And you're going from there to Surat, chapter 12, verse 10 through 18. And all that was pulled from what Mother getting ready to read in 55, 20 to 23. And let's see what's going on. Come on, young line.
Okay, we're going over to the book of Proverbs, chapter 3. And we want verse number 31 down to verse 33. The book of Proverbs, chapter 3, verse 31 reads, Envy you not the oppressor, and choose none of his ways. For the Lord is abomination to Yahweh, but his secret is with the righteous. Verse 33. The curse of the Yahweh is in the house of the wicked, but he blesses the habitation of the just. Going over to the book of Sirach. 12, we'll pick it up 10 down to verse 18. The book of Sirach, chapter 12, verse 10, read. The book of Sirach, chapter 12, verse 10. Never trust your enemy, for like as iron rust, so is his wickedness. Verse 11. Though he humble himself, and go crouching, yet take good heed and beware of him, and you shall be unto him as if you had wiped a looking glass, and you shall know that his rust hath not been altogether wiped away. Verse 12. Set him not by you, lest when he hath overthrown you, he stand up in your place. Neither let him sit at your right hand, lest he seek to take your seat. And you at the last remember my word, and be quick therewith. Verse 13. Who will pity a charm that is beaten with a serpent? And any trust has come now, wild beast. Verse 14. So one that go to a sinner and is defiled with him is in his sins, who will pity? Verse 15. For a while he will abide with you, but if you begin to fall, he will not tear. Verse 16. An enemy speaks sweetly with his lips, but in his mind he imagines how to throw you into a pit. He will weep with his eyes, but if he find opportunity, he will not be satisfied with blood. Verse 17. If adversity come upon you, you shall find at first. And though he pretend to help you, yet shall he undermine you. Verse 18. He will shake his head and clap his hand and whisper much and change his hand.
Once you have shown that you have crossed them any type of way of revealing anything, they'll put demands on you. Now they will go out their way to fuck with you, humiliate you with everybody. The best now. But Yahweh have shown through the pages of his book exactly what to get into before you can be able to see the elephant and the gorilla on the elephant back in your kitchen. You'll be able to see it. An elephant and a gorilla riding it. You'll be able to see it through the pages of the book, but you have to apply the book and understand exactly what we read in that Constitution.
Mm-hmm.
As long as you're using the name that you're using, Yahweh said you got 1% of coming out victoriously. Imagine a person in the election. He gets 99% of the vote. They call it a landslide.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that's exactly what you're doing when you stiff your neck and you don't follow the rules and regulations of this Bible. When you contrary to this Bible and you put this Bible in no never mind, you always gonna fall into that trap. What you reading that mother? Hey Mother E, what you reading?
Psalm 55:20-23. Look at Psalms chapter 55, verse 20. He has put forth his hand against us as we have peace with him. He has broken his covenant. The words of his mouth were smooth than butter. But what was in his mind? His words were softer than oil, yet were they drawn forward. Verse 22. Cast your burdens upon the Yahweh, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Verse 23. But thou, O Yahweh, shall bring them down unto the pit of destruction. Bloody and deceitful men shall not live out half their days, but I will trust in thee.
Wait a minute, Mo. So you saying that the bloody and simple man is not going to live out half the days, but he left a verse 2 there, and verse 2 is the game changer that got to be applied to activate what's to come. What did verse 2 say again, Mother?
Right.
I mean that Miller verse. No, that Miller verse. You read 23,
right.
Verse 22. Yeah, what did 22 say, Mother? See, you read down from 20 to 23, and you read verse 22. 23 is waiting, but it don't work unless you got 22. What it say in verse 22?
Cast your burdens upon the Yahweh, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved.
He said he never gonna suffer the who?
The righteous to be moved.
You see that, Mother? See that, Mother Jago, you can't change right there. It's not how good you are. He says, I'm not gonna suffer you to be in that situation if you what, Mother?
As you cast your burdens upon me.
But you gotta be what, Mother? What is that big word in verse 22? You got to be. You got to
righteous.
Be righteous. See that, Mother? So you see what the job we got to tell our offsprings and those who come in contact, it don't work unless you what, according to verse 22?
Right.
You see that, Mother? It don't even work. That don't apply to you unless you righteous. Now go to 625 and give us the biblical definition of being righteous. 625. What is the Bible definition of being righteous?
Psalm 625.
Yes, ma'am. What is the Bible definition of being righteous? The only way he gonna make his move against the bloody man, he said you have to be righteous. That's what he say. He say, you see, I take care of the bloody man, but you got to be righteous. Now, what is he saying, Mother? Because he's talking in code. How do we be righteous for him to take care of the bloody man? 625 says what?
625. Oh, what?
Of Deuteronomy.
Oh.
Of Deuteronomy.
It's gone. Okay, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 25 reads. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 25. And it shall be our righteousness if we observe to do all the commandments before the Yahweh, our Yahweh, as he has commanded us.
So, Mother, so he's saying the bloody man would not be stopped in his tracks until the people of the Almighty do what?
Right.
Do what? Come on, Brother Micaiah, do what?
It's law.
If you're not doing his law, it ain't gonna work. And you remember that superstar says that he said, well,
everybody is
equal. I love everybody. I ain't against nothing. I'm about everything. Everything is everything. That's the conversation. But is that based upon emotion or is that biblically? See, biblically is what we got to look at this thing. Biblically. You know, the timeline is on the clock. We have to make a biblically, not an emotional call. This is what Yahweh says in the third chapter. Maybe the 19th chapter, verse 3, Brother Micaiah, down to verse 8. Let's see what he says in the 19th chapter of Exodus. He says something in the 19th chapter, verse 3 down to verse 8. First of all, he got the people to get out from under where they was at. Now, Yahweh get ready to speak to Moses about a few things. And what he said that we can read in 3 and 19, verse 3 down to verse 8. Listen to this, what he says. And remember all the conversation you'll be hearing on the networks. Let's see what happens when Mother E have me waiting on me, Mother. Deuteronomy chapter 7, 6 down to verse 10. Had us sent to the side, waiting on me. So now we're going to examine something, because we heard some speeches already. But now we're going to go in this Bible and see what Yahweh says in 19 chapter 3 down to verse 8. What did it say, that young lion? Come on.
The book of Exodus, chapter 19, verses 3 down to verse 8. Verse 3 reads, "And Moses went up unto Yahweh, and the Yahweh called unto him out of the mountain, saying, Thus shall you say to the family of Israel, and tell the children of Israel." Verse 4. "You have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wing, and brought you unto myself." Verse 5. "Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine." Verse 6. "And you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a righteous nation. These are the words which you shall speak unto the children of Israel." Verse 7. "And Moses came and called for the elders of the people and laid before their faces all these words which Yahweh commanded him." Verse 8. "And all the people answered together and said, All that Yahweh has spoken, we will do. And Moses returned the words of the people unto the Yahweh."
Yeah. So he says, all that say by anointed leadership, we're going to do it. So that was it. Then what happened next in the 26th chapter of Deuteronomy, pick with verse 15. Now what happened next? So now he brought the word. Now the big dignitaries of the Bible, the ones anointed, can now apply the Bible in your case. Let's see what it says in 26th chapter, verse 15, down to verse 19. Listen to this, what we read, Brother Micaiah, in the 26th chapter, verse 15, down to verse 19. Let's see what's going on now. Now you want the one that's anointed to petition for you now. Now let's see the conversation. What you say out your mouth, all that you tell us, anointed leadership, we're going to do it. Okay, good. Now, anointed leadership taking that back to Moses, and he said, by the way, he says something in 26, 15 down to verse 19 of Deuteronomy. What did he say that we can read? Come on.
The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 26, verse 15 down to verse 19. Verse 15 reads, "Look down from your righteous habitation from heaven and bless your people Israel in the land which you have given us, as you saw unto our fathers, a land that flowed with milk and honey." Verse 16. "This day the Yahweh, your Yahweh, has commanded you to do these statutes and judgments. You shall therefore keep and do them with all your mind and with all your soul." Verse 17. "You have avouched the Yahweh this day to be your Yahweh, and to walk in his way, and to keep his statutes, his commandments, and his judgment, and to hearken unto his voice." verse 18. And the Yahweh have about you this day to be his special people as he had promised.
Mm-hmm. That he had promised. That he had promised. What you're saying now, not a seer, I don't like the way this going. We gonna mute Young Lion. He is through talking for tonight. Prayer. Mother E, you left to finish that verse out because the Young Lion has been muted out by the Latter-day Saints. They put the M-U-T-E on him.
Okay.
But I'm trying to tell you, Six Anointed Counts, you can continue to do and pay it no never mind what we try to bring you. Or you can understand is the time is now to apply your life to what the Bible is saying. Now, Mother E, we're going to take it in as far as we can. We're going to bring Mother Z in, and she'll eat some of the time and shortly, and we'll take it on in, and we'll be ready to really get at it again on the special edition called Thursday evening. Now where did Young Lion left off on?
As he has promised these and that thou shouldest keep all his commandments.
Well, what verse is that? Hey, Mother, what verse is that?
Okay, that's verse 18.
Okay, verse 18. I'll back up to verse 17. Yep, take it 17 down to verse 19. So Moses is making a petition for the children of Israel. He's making a petition for the children of Israel. He said, now, I brought back the message on what you told me to tell them. Now, they said, whatever come out of anointed leadership mouth, Yahweh, they say, don't do it. Now, verse 17 of the 26th chapter, verse 17 on verse 19. Now you're back on point again, Mother. He come on.
Book of Deuteronomy, chapter 17, chapter 26, verse 17 to 19. Verse 17. Thus has vowed the Yahweh this day to be the Yahweh and to walk in his ways and to keep his statutes and his commandments and his judgments, and to hearken unto his voice. Verse 18. And the Yahweh has allowed thee this day to be his special people, as he has promised thee, and that those should keep all, and that you should keep all his commandments. Verse 19. And to make the high above all nations, which he has made in praise and in name and in honor, and that thou mayest be an righteous people unto the Yahweh, your Yahweh, as he has spoken.
So he's saying, you made a vow to him, he made a vow to you, everybody start talking good. He said, okay, so now you see the part you got to do for me to hear you. You got to do the part for me to hear you. That's what he's saying. If you do the part that you say you will do out your mouth, I'm going to hear you. If you don't do the part that you say you're going to do out your mouth, now go to the 59th chapter of Isaiah, see if you don't do it. So now, everybody talking, children of Israel, the leadership is telling, like we're telling you now, listen, six anointed counts. We got to be prepared for the word of Yahweh. We got to help them understand what this Bible is saying, not what that one-eyed Satan is saying. If we follow the rules of the Bible, Yahweh is going to intervene. As long as we spell the fence, it's only reacting to what that one-eyed Satan's saying. If Yahweh say I put you above all races of peoples, all other 17 nations. Now, you can't make no apologetic statement behind that. That everybody's equal if Yahweh say I put you above. I mean, if this man said, if I apply his rules and regulations, I'm above all the other nations. I can't back away from what Yahweh is saying. From what Yahweh needs to do. And you got to understand one thing. His word is going to stand. And once we start applying his word the way he tells us, then he's going to step in and do his part. Because one thing about it, in Titus 1, verse 2, he ain't lying about nothing. He said, what's your reading, Mother E?
You just told me Isaiah 59. You didn't say what verse?
Oh, verse 1. Thank you, Mother Z. Yeah, pick up verse 1.
Isaiah chapter 59, verse 1. Behold, the Yahweh's hand is not short that it cannot save, neither his ears heavy that it cannot hear.
Right.
But your sin has separated between you and your Yahweh, and your sin has hid his face from you, that he will not hear. Verse 3.
See that? That's good. He says, it's not that he don't hear you. He hear you now. Allow the early part of the tape when we read about the Constitution. He allowed the men to write the Constitution. He allowed it to be put in the book. You know why? Because he already written in the 28th chapter, verse 47 down to verse 50. And we'll pause and bring Mother Z in behind this. He said, he allowed them to write that Constitution. And now you wonder why our case is so clear that you lose. Now you know from number 15 or 16, according to the Constitution, you only got 1% a chance of winning anything. And imagine somebody running against you in the world of politics, and you got 99% of the votes, and he got 1%. they gonna laugh you to shame and say that was a landslide victory over you. See? And this is what's going on today. And you those that got education will not teach the Bible. You'll teach your feelings. And that's why we're in the condition we're in today. So now, what you getting ready to read, Mother? Then we're going to bring Mother Z in and let her address this national audience on the international side. Come on. What you reading?
I don't know what you said, 28th chapter. Deuteronomy.
Well, I forgot about it now, Mother. I don't see what I have to say. Yes. Yeah, 47 down to, yes, ma'am. 47 down to verse 50. Deuteronomy 28, 47 down to verse 50.
Okay. Book of Deuteronomy, chapter 28, verse 47, read. Because thou servest not the Yahweh, your Yahweh, with joyfulness and with gladness of mind for the abundance of all things. Verse 48, therefore shall thou serve thy enemies, which the Yahweh shall send against thee, in hunger, and in thirst, and nakedness, and in want of all things. And he shall put a yoke of iron upon your neck until he have destroyed thee. Verse 49, the Yahweh shall bring a nation against thee from far, from the ends of the earth, as swiftly as the eagle flies a nation whose tongue thou shalt not understand. Verse 50. A nation of fierce country, which shall not regard the person of old, nor show favor to the young.
Mm-hmm. And what it says in verse 25 and 46? And what it says in 25 and 46?
Okay, let's get back to verse 25 and verse 46. Verse 25 reads, Yahweh shall cause thee to be smitten before thy enemies. Thus shall go out one way against them and flee seven ways before them, and shall be removed unto all the kingdoms of the earth. Verse 26, and thy carcass shall be meat unto all fowls of the air and unto the beasts of the earth, and no man shall frighten them away.
He said, I'm going to scatter you, children of the book, children of Israel, and you're going to be in every nation upon the sun. That way you're going to be at. And you're going to be there, 28:37, mother. I need to give me another one in. And you're going to be there, and you're going to be in every nation upon the sun. And what kind of way in 28:37? Hey, mother, they're going to be there. And they're going to have some 28:37 on them all day long. What does it say?
Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 37. And thou shalt become an astonishment, a proverb, and a byword among all nations, whether the Yahweh shall lead thee.
You'll be a byword and a proverb, and you have the name of the nations. Every name you have of the nation that they gave to you, we read already, you will be 1% coming out victoriously. You have the name that your slave master is giving you that you will use even when you're not cashing your check. Mm-hmm. You know, if I tell you go down there and pay your enemy to change the name, but you will use your slave master's name. If your enemy is 100 miles away from you, you'll still use your slave master's name. You'll use your slave master's name if he's 100 miles away from you with earplugs on and a radio in his ear. Still use the slave master's name. See that what you do? And as long as you do that, using that slave master's name, we read already in the Constitution, as long as you use the same Constitution, you got 1% of chance of winning anything against 99 bricks. All you got is able to throw one brick. They got 99 shots at you. Y'all have them, hey, Mother E, they have them to battle, Mother E. They got 99 bricks to throw at you, and you got one. You hear that, Mother E? You got one brick, and they got 99 bricks with you. Majority of the time, Mother E, how they going to come out, Mother? Hey, Mother E, if somebody got 99 bricks to throw at you, and you got one brick to throw at them, majority of the time, how it's going to come out?
Well, with the 99.
You can leave it like, Mother E, excellent. Mother E, hey, Mother Z, tribe of Yahdah Judah, one of the Moses out of Camp 1. Yahweh bid you to see Royal.
Yahweh bless and keep you, see yourself, a royal seed. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Hallelujah, Yahweh, Mother Z. Now, Mother Z, everybody doing their part. Everybody doing their part. I just don't know when we're going to do ours. And all we got to do is do the Bible. We made a lot of promises to this man. He made a lot of promises to us, too. But one thing in goes, if I look down there, if I can recognize you, I'm going to respond. But if I can't recognize you, I'll give you 1% of winning whatever you own. Now, Mother Z, you're going to address this national audience over 700,000 plus on the international side. The floor is yours. Take your time. Come on.
I'm just going to read a couple of some verses about the devil. And I'm going to start reading in James chapter 2, verse 19. Thus believe that there is one Yahweh that does well, the devil also believe and tremble. Verse 20, but would you know, O viper man, vain man, that faith without work is dead? Verse 21, was not Abraham our father justified by works? Well, when he had offered Isaac, his son, up on the altar. Verse 22. Seeing thus how faith wrought with his work, and by works was faith made perfect. And verse 23. And the scriptures was fulfilled, which said, Abraham believed Yahweh, and it was all imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of Yahweh. Verse 24. Seeing then how that by works a man is justified, and by faith only. Verse 25.
Not by faith only.
Verse 25. Likewise, also was not
Rahab
the harlot justified by works when she had received the message and had sent them out another way. Verse 26. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead. And then I'm going to go read James 4 and 7.
Submit yourself therefore to Yahweh. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Verse 8. Draw near unto Yahweh, and he will draw near unto you. Cleanse your mind, you sinners, and purify your mind, you double-minded. Verse 9. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, and your joy to heaviness. And then I'm going to read some about the devil in 1 Peter 5 and 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walking about, seeking whom he may defile. Verse 9. Who resists steadfast in the faith know that the same affliction as accomplished in you, brother, that in you brothers that are in the world. And I'm gonna stop at verse 10. But Yahweh of all grace, who has called us unto his eternal glory by Yahweh the Son, Yahweh, after that he have suffered a while, making he perfect, established, strengthened, said you. And I'm going to say, Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Well, like I said again, we know this ministry is a load, and we know what we got to do. We got to do some things. And Mother E, here's some things we got to do. It's prophesied we got to do in Psalms 69. Hey, Mother E, it's something we got to do. According to out of mouth, but it's something we got to do to the nation of Israel that's scattered everywhere. Let's see what it says in verse 69, verse 4. I'm really concentrating on the bottom part of that verse. What's going on in Psalm 69, verse 4?
Okay.
What can we read out of Psalm 69, verse 4?
Psalm 69, verse 4, read. They that hate me without a cause are more than the hair of my head. They that would destroy me, their enemies, wrongful, are mightier than I. Restore that which I took not away.
So see, Mother, we know that we are hated on every side, but we try to restore back to them the knowledge that we took not away. We didn't take away the knowledge us to continue to keep on wondering what's going on. And he's telling you, when you backed away from me, he said you're going to serve your enemy because you're going to back away from me.
Mm-hmm.
So in 2 Samuel, Mother E, look what he says, 3:18. So what we got to tell our people, especially out of the six anointed council voices of a Jewish life, when you backed away from Yahweh, the YHWH man, you know what got that young man in trouble? He said already, he said, listen, I messed around and went into my computer, and I put in that name, YHWH, and what popped up was that video. He said, that's where I messed up at. See, when you put that name in, YHWH, they don't worry about you calling him Lord God and Jesus, Allah and Buddha. That don't mean nothing. He said when he browsed that computer and put in YHWH, I mean, it came at him like he had ran over their grandmother because he put their name in. See, but keep telling these camps all over the world, as long as you call this man by all these other names, it don't mean a thing. But when you call this man by the name of YHWH, that activates Yahweh's ears. And they know if you call him by that name, action is waiting. Matter of fact, I need to read that, Mom. When you call by that name, give me, what verse I need? I need to hear that. Give me 2:3 first. Give me 2 verse 3. I need to read that, mother. Give me 1 Samuel 2 verse 3. When you call on the name YHWH and you're doing his will, let's show you what Samuel was told to happen. When you're doing his righteousness, that means you're keeping them Sabbath days, on feast days, wearing them fringes. You got the end of your name, Israel, at the end of your name. You got all that going for you. Look what he told Samuel put down in the book in 2 verse 3. 1 Samuel 2 verse 3. What did it say there, mother?
First Samuel, verse 3. First Samuel chapter 2 verse 3 read. Talk no more, for it's exceedingly proud. Let not arguments come out of your mouth, for the Yahweh is a Yahweh of knowledge, and by him actions are weighty.
He says, talk no more proud with arrogancy. He says, don't do that no more. He said, Yahweh is a Yahweh of action. By him, that name, YHWH, action is weighty. You want to get Yahweh to hear what you got going on? Be righteous. Meaning, you got your name. Your name ain't got the curse name on it. You're wearing your fringes. You're keeping the Sabbath day. You get in where you been in at. Now you all right with Yahweh. Now give me 2 Samuel. Now give me 2 Samuel 3:18. So if you ain't got the fringes on, you're not keeping the Sabbath day, then you might as well make it the best way you can by watching every move that one eye Satan is telling you. And that's why they can't understand what's going on in the early part of the text. We showed them what's going on. It was a constitution wrote. If you know the constitution said in Article 4, 5, and you put that together with these scriptures, and you said, my, I didn't know that. But now you know it. Now you know it. 2 Samuel 3:18, what it say, mother?
2 Samuel chapter 3, verse 18. Now then, do it, for the Yahweh has spoken of David, saying, by the hand of my servant David, I will save my people, Israel, out of the hand of the Philistines and out of the hand of all their enemies.
You hear, mother? You hear what he's saying? He said, I'm going to save my people of Israel from the enemy. I'm going to do it. By the hand of the anointed one, the one that understands what I'm saying, I'm going to save the people. I'm going to save the people. But you got to be righteous. He's letting you know, I'm going to save you. Because I'm going to save you through my word. You will stop making the errors that you're doing and think you can come up another way. I'm going to save you through my word. Let's go to Luke chapter 1 and see if anything changed, mother. We go to Luke chapter 1 and pick up verse 72. We'll make it 67 down to verse 72. He said, I'm going to save you. But I'm going to save you by understanding what's written in this Bible. We're going to Luke chapter 1, verse 67 down to verse 72. He said, I'm going to save you, but I'm going to save you through my word. If you don't have his word, that's how he said he's going to save you. That's why every organization that ever came before you got cut down. Why? Because NAM organization brought in the name YHWH, and Yahweh was not in it. He was not in it, and that's why it always comes to nothing.
Mm-hmm.
If you get that name telling you, you do what this man telling you to do. He says, do his Bible. I'm going to make a move in your favor. That's when you got the Bible right. Luke chapter 1, 6 to 7, down to 72. Mother E. What is that, Mother E?
The book of Luke, chapter 1, verse 67 to 72 reads, verse 67, and his father, Zacharias, was filled with the righteous spirit and prophesied, saying, verse 68, blessed be the Yahweh of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people. Verse 69, and have raised up a horn of salvation for us and the family of his servant David. Verse 70, as he spake by the mouth of his righteous fear, which have been since the world began. Verse 71, that he should be saved from our enemies and from the hands of all that hate us. Verse 72, to perform the mercy promised to our Father and to remember his righteous covenant.
You see that, Mother? You see that, Mother? We got to remember the covenant. If you want to be saved from your enemies, you're going to have to remember the covenant. I don't care what you got going on in this world. If you try to make it without the covenant, look what happened to the big dignitaries. The brother got on the airways about a month ago and said he was the richest black man that ever lived. He said he's worth $11 billion. Okay. But how'd you get the $11 billion? How'd you get it? You got it from the hands of Satan. Now, Satan reached and snatched that $11 billion from you now, right? Because remember one thing. Only thing going to stand, you will have to be rich according to the 12th chapter, 19 through 21 of Luke. Hey, Mother E, let's talk about how the Bible wants you to be rich. We're going to Luke chapter 12, verse 19 down to verse 21. See, this is the riches, because remember, when you rich, the hand of Satan the devil. And the devil, when he get ready, he just snatch it from you. But he said a parable, Mother, in Luke chapter 12, verse 19 down to verse 21. Let's talk about it, Mother. Come on.
Book of Luke chapter 19. Chapter 12, verse 19 to 21. Luke chapter 12, verse 19. And I will say to my soul, thus has much good laid up for many years. Take thine heed, eat, drink, and be merry. Verse 20. But Yahweh said unto him, the food this night, thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? Verse 21. So is he that lays up treasures for himself and is not rich towards Yahweh.
You hear that, Mother? He said, you can get all, just like this man got all them billionaires. He boasted about he's the richest black man to ever live. Okay, good. Then they said right then and there, we the one gave you that, and we the one can take it away from you. Now, his song is, I sold my soul to the devil. Yes, you did. Because you got to be rich. Wow. You got to know who you are, and you got to know that this man is telling you your position. You can't back away from your position according to Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 6 down to verse 10. See, you want to make politic statements about we all equal and everybody is on the same level. I beg the difference. The Bible says, Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 10. I beg the difference. You got to go in the Bible and see if it's so. Do the Bible say everybody on the same level field? Deuteronomy chapter 7, 6 down to verse 10. Mother Eve, bring it.
Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 6 to 10. Verse 6. For thou art an righteous people unto the Yahweh, the Yahweh, your Yahweh has chosen thee to be a special, peculiar people unto himself, above all people that are upon the face of the earth. Verse 7. The Yahweh did not set his love upon you, nor to you, because you were more in number than any people, for you were the fewest of all people. Verse 8. But because the Yahweh loved you, and because he would keep the oath which he has sworn unto your father. He has sworn unto your father that he, that the Yahweh brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you out of the famine of bondage from the land of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And verse 9. Know, therefore, that the Yahweh, your Yahweh, he is Yahweh, this faithful Yahweh, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to a thousand generations. Verse 10.
See that, mother? Go ahead.
And repay them that hate him to their face, to destroy them. He will not be slack to him that hate him. He will repay him to his face.
You see that, mother? So he's saying, listen, he said, I am a loving YHWH man, but I'm only in love with you for you keeping my covenant. If you don't have my covenant, I'm not in love with you. That was just said. And let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 6 to 10. And we're going to close out, mother. Thessalonians chapter 1, down to verse 10. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 6 down to verse 10. He said, yeah, I got great love for you, children of Israel. You got to be keeping the covenant. You got to understand one thing. Long as you care the titles, the name they gave you, long as you're going to talk about the slave ship that brought you over here, the Constitution boot you out, and Yahweh do too. Now, if you start remembering what this Bible's saying and apply this Bible, a change is going to come. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, 6 down to verse 10. What did it say there, mother?
1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 6 to 10. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 6. And you become followers of us and of the Yahweh, having received the word in much affliction, with joy of righteousness, with joy of the righteous spirit.
Hey, mother. So you read that 1 verse 6, 1 Thessalonians 1, 6?
1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 6.
Yes, ma'am.
And you become followers of us and of the Yahweh, having received the word in much affliction, with joy of the righteous spirit.
Okay, well, make that sound. Hey, mother. Hey, mother, you're right. Mother Z is right. She said second. You're right. You're right, Mother Z. Make that second. And we'll close out with this.
Second,
we'll close out, mother, after this. Yes, ma'am. Mother Z, you hit it right on the head. 2 Thessalonians 1, 6 down to verse 10, the closing statement.
2 Thessalonians 1, 6 to 10. Okay. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 6 to 10. Seeing it is a righteous thing for Yahweh to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. Verse 7. And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Yahweh, the Son, shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty ministering spirit. Verse 8. And flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that knoweth not Yahweh, and that obeyeth not the covenant of our Yahweh the Son. Verse 9, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Yahweh and from the greatness of his power? Verse 10, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admonished in all them that believe because of our testimony among you was believed in that day.
Excellent, Mother. That was great big talk. If you don't know him, he going to show his hand. Well, you in the grave or out of the grave sooner or later. All right, Mother E, that was excellent. Mother Z, that was excellent. We'll catch everybody tomorrow at 6 p.m. on a special edition called Thursday Evening. Mother, the closing statement is all yours. Take your time there, Mother E. Come on.
Okay. I'm just thanking praise Yahweh for this class. Thanking and praising Yahweh for the seer. And thanking and praising Yahweh that our